Friends, on Wednesday, newly empowered House Republicans took the reins and opened the 112th Congress to a new era of divided government in the nation's capital. Images graced the pages of the print media showing former Speaker Nancy Pelosi handing the gavel, the symbol of power in the Congress, to the apparently humbled Speaker John Boehner. On Wednesday, Mr. Boehner became the 61st Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives and will now preside over one of the most difficult and trying political times in recent memory. The session was open with the reading of the United States Constitution, and many in the media found it to be a clever tactic. Amazingly, others thought the act was a waste of time and money, refusing to see the relevance of the U.S. Constitution to the U.S. Congress. Personally, I didn't know whether to be happy or to be shocked at just how novel the concept appeared to be. But in the 3 days since Republicans have held the majority, many new rules have been implemented. Some of the rules include a new requirement that all bills must be publicly posted on the internet for a period of at least 72 hours before they're debated on the House floor. This is obviously a victory for those who have felt that Congress has shrouded many of its controversial laws within bills that could not possibly be read in their entirety prior to their passage. Additionally, the new House Republicans have instituted a new change that improves the old pay-as-you-go budget rule, which required bills that sought to increase spending or cut taxes to be offset with spending cuts or tax hikes in other areas. The new rule is called cut-as-you-go. Under this new rule, only spending cuts can be used to offset spending increases, virtually taking tax increases off of the table. As you can imagine, the backlash to the cut-as-you-go rule came fast and furious. The loudest of the special interest groups and agencies to oppose this rule include the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, highway and transit programs, education spending advocates, and others. It is doubtful that this rule can survive very long amid our spendthrift government officials who actually believe that Washington has a revenue problem. Friends, Washington's annual budget is $3.5 trillion, yet it only raises a little over $2 trillion in tax revenue every year. Let me say that another way. Our federal government spends $3.5 trillion per year, and it only earns just over $2 trillion per year. And it's not like the federal government just began spending more than it makes. It has consistently gone over its budget time and time again. Recently, it has been going over its budget to the tune of about $1 trillion per year. Now, let's break this down on a personal level. If you earn $2,000 per month all year long, and yet you insist on spending $3,500 every single month all year long, you don't have an income problem, my friend. Instead, you have a spending problem. Friends, Washington does not have a revenue problem. It does not need more of your hard-earned money. It needs to learn to live within its means like you and I have to do. In fact, it should set the example if it wants its own citizens to be financially healthy. But friends, this is the punchline. The government does not care about setting an example. It does not care if you are financially healthy. It only has one concern, and that concern is to grow and enlarge itself at your expense. The quicker that you understand this, the better off that you will be in the end. Our national debt now stands at a staggering $14 trillion. After being $14 trillion in the red, you would think that Washington would begin to realize that they have a major spending problem. But remember, Washington thinks that its problem is a revenue problem, not a spending problem. The only time that our leaders in Washington become concerned about anything is when their spending money threatens to dry up. So watch for the big debate in the next few weeks in the Congress to be over the raising of the quote-unquote debt ceiling. Somewhere around March or April of this year, our spendthrift politicians are going to have to vote themselves more spending money. Instead of slashing spending or cutting redundant government programs, Washington will choose to beg and plead for more money. Have you ever seen a small child in the candy aisle at a grocery store throwing a fit because they want something? That is what our politicians are going to do, just as they do each and every year. In the end, we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with our nation's leaders living in total denial over our true economic problems? But don't answer too fast, because to answer that question, requires that we are not living in financial deception ourselves.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people.
Confronting the lies of the age.
Confronting the lies of the age.
Bringing you the truth.
The truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth. You're listening to Follow the Money. Weekly. Weekly. Weekly.